It's 88.5 with Nick in the Morning, and I'm so happy to say that we have Grace Potter in studio this morning. It is so good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
So good to be here.
You're going to play some songs. We're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on. The new album is coming out on the 25th, Daylight.
Yes.
And we do have the first single we've been playing a little bit called Love is Love, and I think that's what you're going to start with, right?
We are. I think it'd be a good place to begin.
All right. Grace Potter with Love is Love.
I don't care about pride. I don't care, I want to call you. I don't care, I've gone off the rails. I'm crazy falling for you. Well, I promised him I would never stray, but I'm thinking about you every day. Now I'm standing here outside your door. I just can't fight this anymore. I never said I was a saint. I never said I'd be his savior. I never say I didn't try to fight against my human nature. So then the past and future fall away. I will worship these wounds every day. The cuts that bleed from my mistakes couldn't keep my heart from giving way.
I think I'll just say, very simply, this song is called Shout It Out. I swear I heard you say I'm sorry. Rolled my suitcase down the hall. But then again, it might have been the wheels inside my mind trying to make sense of it all. I swear I heard you say say I love you. As I drove off with all my things. But then again, it might have been the Santa Ana winds blowing through my guitar strings. You don't talk about forgiveness. You don't talk about your pain. Come to think of it, my darling, you don't say much of anything. But I can see it in your eyes. There's so much you need to say.
It's 88.5 with Nick Harcourt on The Morning Show. Our guest in studio is Grace Potter. That was beautiful. Shout it out, the second song. The first one was Love is Love. Thank you for coming in and performing for us.
Thanks, Nick. It's so good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you know, we last met probably about 5 or 6 years ago. You did the old Guitar Center Sessions TV show that I used to host along with the Nocturnals. And that was a fun day. I do remember that very well.
That was really one of my favorite interviews of all time. So I was very happy to hear that you were going to be speaking with me again. A lot has happened, so we get to cover all that ground. Yeah. You know?
Should we talk about my life first? No, there's a lot of stuff can happen in 4 or 5 years, that's for sure.
It's
and I know that you took a bit of a break around about 4 years ago after your debut solo album, Midnight, came out in 2015. So any particular reason to step away?
I was pretty bummed out. I was not in a place where I felt that I had much more to share with the world. There was, it's really hard when things fall apart, and you know, I didn't want things to fall apart, and when they did, there was quite a feeling of there was a sort of an emancipation that came with Midnight, the album. And it was wonderful to get out on the road and be able to play for crowds and see that people still wanted to see me and to experience the show and the energy. And that really kind of carried me through what was otherwise a pretty tumultuous time. I didn't want it to be a solo record initially. And actually, when I went into the studio to make Midnight, we'd been doing a bunch of writing, the band and myself. We went out to Joshua Tree and did a big old collaboration, and there was sort of this idea of, like, we're all going to do this together. It's going to be this amazing record. And it just didn't click, and things sort of unraveled from there. So I just felt like I needed some time and maybe forever to just step away from it and try and understand why so many people lost in the game of music, you know?
So that obviously became the solo album, Midnight, and you promoted it, obviously, because you were proud of it. But then I guess everything caught up with you and you sort of stepped away. What'd you do while you were away? I mean, I'm sure you still played music, but while you were away from doing this, doing interviews and putting albums out and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I didn't play much music. I was super crispy. Like, what was interesting was, you know, I think I felt like I'd accomplished a lot in my career. You know, like, once you get to sing Gimme Shelter on stage with the Rolling Stones,
not too shabby.
You can kind of just, like, mic drop and just, like, go. So I really felt like if there was ever a time for me to really step away, I need to unthread the needle and just, like, pull away from everything that I identified myself as, especially within the industry or to the public eye, because I do think that there's been a bit of a skewed concept of who I really am. What I really am is an artist that is better at music than all the other art that I try to do. And so this was my opportunity to sort of develop and strengthen the muscles in my mind creatively beyond music, because I didn't want to lean on it anymore. I think, again, so many things that I didn't want to have happened under the guise of it being all for rock and roll, and you know. So it was really amazing to go into, like, learning how to garden, and I got back into one of the things that always made me the happiest, which is painting houses. So I did a lot.
When you say painting houses, you mean painting houses, like, outside, like with a big brush and I used to do that.
The money's great. Yeah. You get a tan, you know, you get a little high off the fumes.
I used to do that in upstate New York. We were talking about Woodstock before we went on the air, and I was talking about living up there. I used to do that in Kingston. I used to make good money doing that in upstate New York.
Yeah. I paid for my first record with house painting.
Right. Yeah. Right on. So you got back to painting your own house, I'm guessing.
It was my own house. I will say that. I did paint some friends' houses, and there was a lot of moving and changing over of properties and, you know, what happens when divorces happen. So I got to do a little house flipping, which was really fun.
Oh, that's nice. Did you make some money?
No, I did not.
Better get back to music. No,
yeah, exactly.
But you know, life changes, obviously. Divorce, as you mentioned, you know, the band, the Nocturnals, ended.
Yep.
But then you remarried and had a child. Yep. And Eric Valentine, your husband, is with you as well today.
He is.
That's a lot of material to work with when you start writing again.
And I think it did come from the fact that there was just so much life under my belt and so little music to reflect it. For the first time ever, I finally kind of felt that calling, mainly because I'd expressed all the other joyful things I could in creativity. I wrote a lot, and I really enjoy writing, and I enjoy the idea that we can tell a story in many different ways, and I had told it every other way I could, and then the songs called out to be written.
I read that your perspective on what a song means personally changed as well, because before you'd just been writing perhaps more universally.
Yep.
And this time around, because of the changes in your life, you felt that the songs were a little more personal.
Yeah, very much more personal. They were more for me, actually. And when I started writing, I wasn't planning on sharing any of it, which is really the most interesting thing about this record. When you listen to it, is that every song was essentially, for me, it was sort of like family music, you know? Like I pictured maybe playing it in the living room for a few friends, or, you know, playing it for myself to feel good, or playing it for Eric and Sagan and whoever will bend an ear. But the idea of recording it and releasing it and like touring was really not in the pipeline at all when I started writing.
You mentioned Sagan, who's your son, who's about 20 months old now, right?
Yes, yeah.
Love is Love, I believe, was the first song that you demoed for
mm-hmm.
the album.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I read that you said that the rawness of the song kind of shocked you.
Yeah, it scared the living daylights out of me. No pun intended.
can you expand on that a little bit, and then how you took that and did continue to write songs for the new album?
Yeah, well, if you listen to the lyrics, it's like reading someone's diary. You know, if I read these lyrics off of someone's text message exchanges with, you know, a loved one, I would say, oh, this is none of my business. I'm putting this down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really personal, and it's too, you know, far, far out in a new direction for me as a songwriter, because I always mask my feelings, my emotions, my desires in these euphemisms and metaphors and, you know, like songs like Ah Mary or Big White Gate, earlier material that I'd written, you know, from a very young age was always a narrative that was parallel to my life, not directly addressing it. And as you said, some more universal things like the song Alive Tonight, which is just like, we all feel like this, or, you know, these songs felt more like I was reaching out and trying to speak everybody's truth as opposed to being very specific. And it just felt, yeah, it made my skin crawl to get that personal.
You know, when things change, when things collapse, usually they all collapse at the same time, don't
mm-hmm.
they? It's like, you know, personal yeah. things collapse. Sometimes financial things go along with it. Career
yeah.
things go along with it. You obviously had the good fortune to have been working for so long that you had a little cushion, I'm sure, to be able to sort of like take that time away.
Yeah.
But once you sort of realized the way these songs were coming together, it sounds like you had a lot of freedom in the writing because you weren't thinking about putting them out.
Definitely. And I also didn't have a record company waiting for something.
Uh-huh.
I had parted ways with Hollywood Records at the end of the touring season for Midnight after working with them for 10 years. And it was a really perfect time for a respite. But, you know, expectations and deadlines are definitely something I'm not good at. When people are waiting for things and sort of going, come on now, we're waiting. You know, I just didn't. I feel that I was born into a time where like checking your email is something you just do genetically. You're like pre-wired to do it. And I'm in the wrong place and time for sure. Cause I definitely have like 60,000 unread emails. So I'm not good at that. And I didn't plan on becoming someone who I never planned to be somebody who's going to be good at that.
It's good that you're letting everybody know why they don't get a returned
yes.
email, though. It's
yes.
like you just come on the radio, or you know, do a podcast
yes.
or do a TV show or something, and you say, so this is why I'm not returning your emails, just so you know. Don't take it personally.
Let the world beware.
Yeah.
I'm blind, so I probably won't remember you when I see you, and I will definitely not return your emails.
So bringing all these changes into your life, obviously, new love, that's usually an inspiration for people.
Big time.
And having your son as well. What did those things bring to your writing? Is there a different perspective on what you want to say?
It was more about what, not just what I wanted to say, but what I wanted to have the people I love feel, you know, and how it comes across. Because saying things, I mean, people talk all kinds of nonsense all day long in songs, and a lot of lyrics are fun just because they're fun to say, you know, like Beck Odelay, some of that music is like my favorite ever, but I don't know what those lyrics mean. Mm. Maybe there was a lot of meaning behind them, but I think I wanted to escape the idea that a song should just be a song, and more that a feeling should be conveyed, the sense of comfort and home and stability that I had never had in my life from a teenager when the Nocturnals started all the way through until I was, you know, 32 years old. I had no chance to just like drop anchor and be anywhere.
Ground. You couldn't ground because obviously you're just sort of relentlessly building a career and on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know you moved to Topanga as well, which, you know, if for anybody who is hearing this out of Los Angeles, is a creative community that's just about 40, 50 minutes out of pretty much, well, maybe an hour out of Hollywood or anywhere else. But it's up in the hills. It's up in the country. And look, you come from Vermont. It must have been nice to find a place like that where you could just breathe.
It's home. It's so funny how places call to you. You know, I've met a lot of folks who they find their little corners of the world, and there seems to be some like-minded people in those places, whether it's Big Sur or, you know, for me, Byron Bay, Australia is a big
gosh,
one.
Oh, my gosh, I love that place.
Yeah, it's just, it calls to me. It's like, these people are my people. I don't know why. I'm not really into, like, tribalism. I just more think that there's certain vibrations that just call to you in a certain place and time.
I understand that, having spent living in Woodstock for a bunch of years and then living in Topanga myself for a while.
We're tandem, Nick.
Those places, it's like Flagstaff in Arizona. Like
totally.
These places are just so special and attract a creative community that, you know, usually brings something to the work as well.
Exactly.
So I know you're going to do one more song for us, but before you do, you have to tell me a little bit about your friend Jessica, who is up on the space station right now.
Yes, that's right. So last week, my family and all my dear friends got a house down in La Jolla and woke up at 3:30 in the morning and drove over, packed up the van and put the guitars in and got out and played a launch party. And this isn't just any launch. It was the launch of our friend Jessica Meir into outer space. She is now actually on the International Space Station, serving her mission, 6-month mission at the International Space Station.
Fabulous.
It's wild because, you know, she's texting me a few days before. She came during the government shutdown. She came and stayed with us in Topanga. We went hiking, and my family doctor will never forgive me for getting an astronaut sick. He still can't believe that happened. We all got super sick and celebrated New Year's and rang in the New Year, and she and I had a conversation about how long it takes to do the thing you really love, and the lifelong dreams sometimes take your whole life. And she was, you know, after the government shutdown, she was like, I'm not sure when or if this is going to ever happen. And maybe my entire life has been built up for, you know, all these reasons. And maybe it's a lesson to me that I shouldn't have been so ambitious. And I was a little tipsy and I was, you listen to me, Jessica. This is going to be your year. It's going to be your year. I wasn't quite that drunk. I don't really slur when I'm drunk. Anyways, I just told her I have a very strong feeling that this is your year.
I've and got a vision.
She came. She called me a couple of weeks later and said, I've got some news. I'm going up. And she decided to have Love is Love from my new album, the song that she played privately for herself in the cockpit of the Soyuz as she was getting ready to launch into space.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So your music is being heard in space as well.
It's so cool.
Listen, it's so good to see you and hear a little bit about what you've been up to, obviously, and the new album, Daylight. And I know you're going to be hitting the road in 2020, which is kind of cool. And you're taking the family on the road, which is going to be such a different experience for you, I'm sure. It sounds fabulous.
I think it'll be healthier.
Yeah.
A baby definitely levels out, you know, your sleep patterns and all of your lifestyle stuff. And I think in a very good way.
So what are you going to wrap this up with for us?
Yes, I want to do a song that it actually just was released. The way that my new record company has been working this record, which I love, Fantasy Records, is slowly releasing songs, one every 2 weeks, I believe, leading up to the release of the album on October 25th. And I'd never done this before, but it's been such a cool way to introduce my music back into the world because it's sort of a soft launch, you know? So this was the third song that the world has just received. And it's a really important one to me. It's a song I started writing by myself in my previous home as I was moving out. It was my last night in that home. I was actually in the bath. I didn't finish it. It was just like it was a chant. It was like something I was sort of saying to myself as I was soaking in the tub, just thinking about all the things that had happened in this house and sort of saying goodbye to this chapter of my life. I kind of came up with this prayer or meditation. And it was only about a year later, digging through my voice memos, that I thought this would be a really, this might be something. And actually Eric, the producer, and my husband, he said, you know, don't sleep on this one. You should definitely take this to Mike Busby, who's an amazing songwriter and someone who has that kind of gospel sense. Everything that he's written, he's had an amazing career discovering and helping artists develop and grow. Maren Morris, I think, was one of the more prominent artists, but there's a lot more amazing people that he has sort of shepherded along. And in that way, this song felt like a wonderful thing to bring to him and finish. So we had a session together. I think we finished the whole thing in about 20 minutes. And this is a hard one. It's only the second time I've played it since he passed away. Just a week ago, he found out less than 2 months ago that he had brain cancer, and it was a very, very sudden, very fast thing. So he usually plays this piano, and since he's not here anymore, I'm going to do my best to play his parts and to do it justice. And I think this is certainly now more than ever feels like a tribute to him as much as an emotional expression for myself and my story.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss of your friend.
Thank
you for being willing to play the song while this is all still so fresh for you.
I'm gonna try. I can't guarantee that it's gonna.
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm really proud. This is why I'm making music again, because I think it has such a capacity for healing and for sharing in the human experience in a very visceral way, in an honest way.
So thanks for coming in and playing for us here on the Nick Radio Show. I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're going to wrap up with this song. It's called Release. Grace Potter.
This pain, I know you can't let me go. Crying in the midnight rain, waiting on a miracle. I release you. It's hard to say the words, and I release you from holding on to the bridge I burned. I release you.
you touch my skin. I could never change my heart after being where it's been.
The sun.